Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
Today we're going to talk about the nature of our calling. Yes, the Scripture points out that God does call individuals to become Christians. But we need to add very quickly that He does not call them individually and directly. He doesn't call them miraculously to become His children. The call comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the Word of God. We know that because of what the Word of God itself tells us. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, tells us, "To which He called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Go back to verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians 2 to gain the fuller context there. "But we are bound," Paul says, "to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord." You see, he's writing to Christians here. "Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Then we're back to verse 14, "to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice that God had chosen them, not as individuals, but He chose ahead of time that all those who would become His children would have to do so through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. That's the only predestination that we find in Scripture, not individual predestination, but that God predetermined that only those who obey the gospel of Christ will be those who will be saved. And that's exactly what is meant by being sanctified by the Spirit and believing in the truth, because, you see, it is the Holy Spirit who has delivered the truth to us once and for all. The final deposit of the Spirit's revelation is found in the New Testament, the testament to which we are amenable, and the words of Jesus Christ and the inspired words of all the New Testament are the words that will judge us in the last day. We must answer the call of the gospel, just as the Thessalonians had done. And when we do, we are sanctified by the Spirit. That is, in obedience to the teachings of the Spirit, we've been sanctified, which simply means to be set apart. We have come to God through Christ in belief in the truth. We've answered the call of the gospel. There's a great deal of misunderstanding in the religious world today about the nature of that calling. But Paul makes it abundantly clear here in 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14, that it is the call of the gospel that we must answer. Now, having established that, in the remainder of our time together today, let's look further at the nature of this calling. It is a heavenly calling. It is a holy calling. It is a hopeful calling. And it is a helpful calling, as we shall see in the remainder of our time together. First of all, this call through the gospel that all men must answer if they are to be saved eternally is indeed a call that comes from heaven. In other words, the gospel of Christ originated with God. It has a heavenly origin. It did not originate with man. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the," here it is, "heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." There the writer of Hebrews, writing to holy brethren, that is, those who had been sanctified by obedience to the truth, had been set apart. They had become, as the writer says, partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, we've already seen that this calling has come through the Word of God, through the gospel. But it originated in heaven. It is from God. There is but one gospel of heavenly origin, and that gospel cannot be changed by man. It could not be changed, as Paul wrote, if an angel from heaven came and preached another gospel, we would be obliged to reject it, because there is no other gospel. It originated with God. It came through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And if we are to answer that heavenly calling, it will be through answering the call of the gospel, the Word of God, in obedience to that Word. But it's also a holy calling. And in fact, the verse we just read implies that, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling," because when one has answered the call of the gospel and has become a Christian, he is holy. He is set apart for a holy use, and he is to be holy. But there's another passage of Scripture that directly speaks to the child of God as one who is indeed holy or set apart. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. And there Peter writes, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Now look at verse 15. He who called you is holy. He who called you is holy. You see? As he who called you is holy. But how did he call us to become Christians if we are Christians today? Verse 15 says, we have been called to be holy, but we've already established, remember, from 2 Thessalonians 2:14, that the call that makes us holy people comes only through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one unchangeable, everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we have answered that call, we are obliged to become truly a holy people, just as the one who called us is holy. God is holy. And Peter's statement takes us back to the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus 11, where God there told his people of old, "You be holy, for I am holy." In every dispensation of time, God has always demanded holiness from those who would be his servants. That is, they are to be separate and set apart from the world in which they live. In the world, yes, but not of the world. That is, not like the world. And so this calling that comes through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, is a heavenly calling. It originated with heaven, Hebrews 3, verse 1. It is a holy calling, as he who called you is holy. The call for us is to become holy as he is holy. That is, set apart and sanctified from this world. But also, we learn from Ephesians 4 and verse 4 that this calling is a hopeful calling. It's a hopeful calling. Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body, that's the church, one body, one church. There's one body and one spirit. Now listen, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One hope of your calling. And what is that hope? It is the hope of heaven, obviously, isn't it? We are called into one hope, the hope of heaven. You know, in the secular realm, it is possible and certainly it is acceptable for people to have different aspirations, different goals, even among those who have answered the call of the gospel. In their secular pursuits, they can have different goals. One person might want to be a doctor, another a lawyer, etc. And as long as they're honorable professions in which a Christian can be involved, we can have different hopes or different goals or different aspirations in those terms, in the secular realm. But if we've answered the call of the gospel, if we have become children of God, if we have become followers of Christ, we have but one common hope when it comes to spiritual things. And that is the hope of heaven. And everything that we are and everything that we do centers around the fulfillment, ultimately, of that hope. The church is the center of our lives, and everything else pales in comparison to the church and to the hope that we have as a result of being in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul says it, one body, one spirit, just as you were called. How, Paul? We've already seen that, haven't we? Called by the gospel, just as you were called in one common hope. And that is the hope of heaven. But we go back to 1 Peter to see our final point as we study the nature of our calling. And that is that it is a helpful calling. What do we mean by that? It's a helpful calling. Well, I think you'll understand when you hear these words from 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Finally, Peter writes, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called, there it is, to this, that you may inherit a blessing. That's a great passage of Scripture. And doesn't it tell us that if we've been called by the gospel and have answered that call through obedience to the gospel, that we have been called to be helpful to others, to have compassion for one another, to love as brothers, to be tender-hearted, to be courteous, not to return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, just the opposite, to bless others, knowing that you were called to this. And the ultimate reward is that you may inherit a blessing. You see, what Peter is saying, in effect, is that to ultimately be blessed, we must be a blessing. We must be a blessing in order to be blessed by God and to be blessed ultimately with the final and eternal inheritance, heaven, as our home. Oh, yes, the nature of the call of the gospel, it's heavenly, it's holy, it's a hopeful calling, and it is a helpful calling that reminds those who've answered it that it comes from heaven, that it makes us a holy people that is set apart for a holy use, that we've been called in one common hope, that hope being heaven itself, and that we've been called to be helpful to others, as 1 Peter 3:8 and 9 points out. The greatest help we can give to others is to take this singular, simple, sweet gospel to them in the hope that they might obey it. That would be our plea with you, if you're not a Christian today, that you answer the call. It comes not in any direct miraculous way, but it comes only through the gospel of Christ. And in the gospel, we are clearly told that we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24, or die in our sins. That to answer the call of the gospel, we must then repent of our sins or perish eternally, Luke 13:3, and again at verse 5. That we're to confess that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10:10, and then we are to be baptized as Jesus commanded for the forgiveness of our sins. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, Mark 16:16. We plead with you today to answer the call of the gospel.